Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo-woo! Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Hope you guys off to a great start. Hope you're getting ready for another fantastic day. How are you guys doing this morning?
How are you doing, Travis Rogers?
I'm great. I am great, Keith. I'm good. Ready man. To go at it again.
I'm good. Trying to just continue to follow what we're doing here in the world and paying attention to some things and, you know, just, you know, looking at everything, getting excited. The more and more every day, like I told you, every day things change. And within a 24-hour period, something else will change. And we'll hear all of a sudden that we're going to do this in sports and not do that. And then the next day. So I'm just every day I'm looking for a different update. Let's say that.
Yeah. And it seems like you're getting one. You know what I mean? It what we had a week ago is different than what we have right now. And I would imagine a week from now, it'll be differently than where we are today. So it does change pretty, pretty quickly. LZ, how are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, I'm right there with Keyshawn. I went to I had my mask on. I decided to go to Target because I needed a new broom, but I also needed to pick up some groceries and I needed some liquor. So I figured Target, I can check it all off. Boom, 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 boom. So I'm in Target, I'm walking around, and I saw the sporting goods area. So I walked over there and I bought a can of tennis balls. And I was like, you know, I'm hopeful. You know what I'm saying? Like hearing the news, seeing sports open up, seeing us get a handle on this thing has inspired me. And now 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't even walk by the sporting goods store because I was like, what's the point? Yesterday, I bought a pump for my basketball and I bought some fresh tennis balls. So I'm getting excited. I'm getting pumped.
I don't know what they're doing out there, LZ, but I had to buy golf balls the other day. And I will say this, the curbside delivery of your sporting goods is not the worst thing in the world. You order it online and you pull up in front of the store and here comes the kid out. And he, you know, here you go. And you just roll down the window. They drop it in the back seat and you're off and you're down the road. It's a high price to pay, to be sure, but it's not the end of the world to be able to just drive up and get your sporting goods, Keith.
No, so you go in to get sporting goods, so you got to drive up to get them, huh?
So you order them online. Like I ordered golf balls at Dick's the other day, right? So you go online, you say, this is what I want, and this is how many of them I want, and they say, okay, it'll be ready in 10 minutes. You drive up there, you text him, you let him know you're there, and he comes out with his mask on, drops in the seat, and boom, gone. It's great.
Hi, Mr. Rogers.
And then Mr. Rogers has to call back the next day because all the golf balls that he had, he lost them in the weeds.
Well,
is that what we're working with?
A little bit of that. Hopefully, I have a few left for my match with Ireland, which is coming up Saturday at Black Gold in Yorba Linda, courtesy of Travis Matthew. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on. But like you said, Key, the news is constantly changing, and the news yesterday was that the governors of California and of New York, Texas as well, all three of these governors said that they expect to be ready to have pro sports in June and thereabouts. So it does feel like we're moving down the field. It does feel like we're getting ready to restart. Now, we still need to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. But for the sake of this conversation, let's start right here, Key. Let's assume that the football season gets going when it was scheduled to get going. What have they missed so far? Where are they behind? Because baseball is behind in a different way than basketball is behind. Hockey, I'm sure, is different than basketball and right on down the line. But let's start with the NFL. What has been missed and how do you catch up, assuming that by June, mid-June, July, we got a green light go?
Well, I would think the majority of the guys have been doing some sort of football acclimated things. Right, they've been doing some training of some sort. They won't be as strong and in shape had they been at the facilities the entire time. But everybody's going to be on equal ground as far as that's concerned. Then when you dive deeper into the on-field activities, they've been able to Zoom with teams and have meetings. It's probably about, I would say, 90% of what you would be doing if you were sitting in a room with a coach talking to you. As long as you are not that little 7-year-old kid in second grade or first grade that is not paying attention to the teacher's instructions because you're picking your nose. If you're at home and you're on Zoom and you're not paying attention to what the coach is saying, then you're going to lose that information. And when you go back in the summer, then you haven't retained that information, and they get ready to put you on the practice field, and they call a play, and you look at, turn around and look back like you saw a ghost. That's when you get yourself into trouble with the coaches. So they're going to lose on-field instruction. The rookies are set far behind. They were drafted in April. By now, they would have seen the club, had the playbooks, being able to have the coaches teach them in person. They can teach them on Zoom, but they can't teach them in person, which is different, which means like, hey, I'm out on the field in OTAs. OTAs is over. Come over here. Let me give you 20 more minutes of private instruction. This is what I was trying to get you to do. On field is different than classroom work. We all know that. And so they're going to miss all of that. They're going to be slow to get up to speed. And then when you dive into the college game, for instance, there's something called the supplemental draft that happens in July. It has happened, you know, every year so often. You get about maybe two, maybe sometimes zero guys that go into the supplemental draft, which means that NFL teams can use future draft picks of the year coming up on current guys that decided one way or another that college wasn't working out for them. Yes, they decided in January they were coming back to school. They went through spring practice. They wasn't feeling the coach. They said, bump this, I'm out of here. They enter into the supplemental draft in July. They get drafted. The L.A. Rams will use a pick from the 2021 draft. Let's say Travis Rogers or LZ Grandison comes out. We're going to use our third, fourth-round pick on this guy because we won't get him in the third or fourth round the next year, so why not do it now? That way he makes money, he gets to go into training camp in July with the team, and he gets to participate in the NFL in September. That's going to be a disaster if they leave it the way that it is and they move forward with it, because you're going to have an influx of college guys making some decisions based on what the NC2A is talking about and based on them not being able to be with their teams and in shape. Now they say, man, I'm just going to the league to make some money. Forget this. You're going to have a rash of guys just rolling out. The Pac-12 conference don't know what they're going to do. Kids are going crazy right now. Oh, I'm going to go to the supplemental. So you might have, you know, 30 guys decide to go in the supplemental draft, and the NFL clubs have not had the opportunity to even take a look at them. Coaches can't touch them, can't feel them. And now you got kids coming out that may or may not get drafted in the supplemental draft. That's a whole nother thing. And then you got coaches trying to prepare for the upcoming season that haven't had a chance to even tutor their rookies, let alone their vets that have no brains. So you got all those sort of things that they have to deal with that this is affected.
I see this is just from an NFL side, because it hits both the NCAA as well as the NFL. But should the NCAA, though, Key, can the NCAA at least make a one-year exception, understanding that this pandemic has put everything topsy-turvy, so that these kids who are entering this supplemental draft system who don't get picked up because they can't get evaluated don't get screwed so they can't go back to college?
You certainly would like to somehow implement that in there. They talked about it recently here.
They did it for spring sports, like the baseball players, the track guys, all of those guys that wanted an extra year of eligibility because their season's got the plug pulled. They will get one next year. I don't know if they're going to what they're going to do for the fall, but that's at least on the plan for spring sport athletes.
Well, they should do it for the football season, because you're going to get drafted or not drafted in July, and training camp typically don't start for college kids until August. So they've got time to go back to school. They've got time to go back to school if they choose to do so. And you're not going to have, you know, you're only going to have, I don't know, a handful of guys, 10, 15, maybe this year's a little bit more, but they should put that rule in, not only for this year, but the future as well.
Well, you think about it too. It's going to be sticking with the college guys in particular. If the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 all play and the Pac-12 doesn't that mean that there's at least the potential for a mass spring exodus, a mass supplemental draft out of the Pac-12? Because the college football is governed differently than everything else we're talking about. That the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they have a commissioner and they have owners who are all working together. These different leagues don't work in conjunction necessarily. They try to at times. But part of the reason that college football is as fractured as it is it does not have a singular voice. There's not a commissioner of college football. There's a commissioner of the SEC, a commissioner of the Big Ten, but they don't all have to operate under the same rules. And if you go into this part of the season and everybody's kind of operating on their own, it could be chaos.
Well, it could turn out to be chaos, and it may be chaos because of the way things are shaping up for everybody. And I think, with, you know, college football, look, if the NFL is going to happen, and I understand everybody saying, oh, if kids aren't on campus, yeah, but they're in the classroom online. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. If they're online doing their classes, it's the same thing as being on campus. So when you look at it, there's guys in college football that are on campus and still taking online classes. So this whole notion that college football shouldn't happen unless kids are on campus is foolish. That's why I think if the NFL gets a go-ahead to go ahead and go forward, all they're going to do is follow the NFL's plan. They're not going to lose out on the money. And if there's no butts in the seats because of the pandemic in college, I think at the same time, they just going to get the television revenue and keep it moving.
All right, so there is one group of people that could be on the short end of the stick when it comes to the restarting of the NFL season. We'll get Key's thoughts on that next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So I was watching SportsCenter last night, guys, and Scott Van Pelt did a little piece on Michael Jordan, like we've all been doing for the last month or so. But they did like kind of a what it would have looked like if there were episodes 11, 12, and so on, and focused on Michael's time with the Washington Wizards. I'll be honest. I had forgotten some of the more miraculous things that he had done as a member of the Wizards. Keep in mind, he retired after the shot against the Jazz. He retires again. He does not play for 3 years. He does not play the 99, the 2000, or the 2001 season. Comes back for the 01-02 season. He had a 51-point game as a 38-year-old. He was an absolute monster still at 38 years old in that league.
Yeah, and just imagine if he would have made a decision to go straight from 98 straight to the Wizards, what that could have looked like. But a dude like Michael Jordan, it's just, I don't know, man. I always tell people, dudes are professionals. When you're a professional, you do certain things, and your body and your mind never forgets. It just never forgets. And I know it'd be, oh, man, that dude old. But he might be old, and it might not look like it looked when he was 22, but he's still better than you at 50. I mean, it just is what it is. It is what it is. And John Ireland tried to explain that to you guys about me. It's better anyway. Still is going to be better no matter what the case is. That's just the reality of it. You look at Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is still better. Okay, he may not be Mike Tyson of what we all remember and all those sort of things, but Mike Tyson is still a pro. He ain't going to lose certain stuff, period.
No, not lose certain stuff to a regular guy, but to other pros. I mean, keep in mind, the rest of the league is still going. And
yeah, but he's still, but he's so, but you got it. But you still got to understand where he was at, though. Michael, okay, so if the rest of the league is at, if the rest of the league is at a 3 when he was playing, at the height, he was at a 12, and he's coming. He's over a 10. Michael Jordan was over a 10. The rest of the league was at a 3, and some guys was at a 6 and a 7. So his 12 comes down all the way down to a 5, and he's still better than you as a 3 at 40, whatever year old he was.
Remember that. Remember Magic's first game back. He was still better than a lot of the guys that he was playing against. Came in off of like what? Few years off and almost got a triple double in his first game.
Yeah, but again, that goes back to what I was saying about MJ. Magic was at a 12 when the mother dudes was the highest they ever gonna get is a 5 or 6.
It's just funny what your memory does to you, because in your mind's eye, you remember Michael Jordan as a Bull, and you remember all the greatness. You remember all the championships. You remember all of that stuff. But when in my mind's eye, when I think of him as the Wizards, it was more of just an odd ending to one of the great careers in the history of sports. But you go into it and get into the details. There were some really remarkable moments that he had there.
He added, I would say, 2 moments to his already illustrious career that I'll never forget as a Wizard. The first is when he pinned Ron Mercer's layup on the backboard with 2 hands. Like, we hadn't seen that. Think about this. We had not seen a guard do that. He came in off the street.
I ain't never seen nobody do that in the NBA, take it off the backboard. I've seen him slam it, but I ain't never seen nobody grab it. And it's like you in your backyard with your little kid on his 8-foot court.
Oh, my God. It was so amazing. You guys remember that play that I'm talking about?
I know exactly the play.
It was so amazing. And I was just like, I've never seen that before. And he came up off the street, left, put his cigar down in the ashtray, went and just did something we had never seen before. And then the other, of course, is in the All-Star game. When he had a chance to win the game one more time on a baseline turnaround jump shot over Sean Marion's outstretched hands, but then Kobe came down, got fouled, hit the free throws, and their team ended up losing in overtime. But just for MJ to hit that shot and for them to set it up and the game to end that way, it was almost like another perfect ending, very similar to 98. Obviously, the circumstances are different, but it was just like Jordan is still Jordan.
He absolutely was. He absolutely. This is why I want more in Last Dance. I can go through the Wizard years if they want to take me out to the golf course years, whatever it is that Michael Jordan's doing. I definitely want to see it. Let's go back to what we were talking about a second ago, guys. And Key, you're talking about how the supplemental draft might have an impact on what we see come football season later on in the summer and then, of course, in the fall. But you mentioned at the beginning, and I want to go back to it. Are we going to see fewer opportunities for rookies? Are we going to see fewer opportunities for guys that were maybe drafted this season and maybe even drafted high to play? Because typically when you get a first-round draft pick, some second-round draft picks, you guys have got a starter and you got guys that are going to play. And then by the end of the season, they're kind of integrated fully into the program. But because of all the things you mentioned, the fact that they're not going to be able to put hands on guys, spend that extra 20 minutes here, half hour there, coaches love veteran players. Are we going to see fewer opportunities for those young guys because of the situation, because of the late start?
Well, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of frustration with veteran players, frustrated with the younger guys and the head coaches, and coaches frustrated with the younger guys. Because the guys are still going to be able to play, and they're going to have to force them to play the high draft picks. You can't sit Joe Burrow. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to, like, you got to force him to play. And things, the information that they are getting, they have to be able to retain and transfer that information, obviously, from the classroom onto the field. And a lot of people, you know, they're good in the classroom and not great on the field, or they're great on the field and not smart in the classroom. So, That creates problems and becomes problematic. So what you try and do is you try to crash course them when you get them in the summer. You're going to have to work them both in the classroom and on the field with extra time so that you can get them up to speed to be play on the team and be an important part of what's going on. When you talk about a guy like a Henry Ruggs who was drafted out of Alabama as a receiver to the Oakland Raiders with the 11th pick of the draft, they're expecting him to come in and contribute. But the wordy playbook, it's like it's going to be like, oh, my God. And they say, well, he got the information in the spring. Yeah, he did. But between the springtime and the summer, he's not being touched by the coaching staff. So they can't take him and say, this is what we mean. We need for you to line up 3 yards outside the numbers and – tighter split. We want you 2 yards. They can't do that on Zoom. On the field, they can blow the whistle, say, hold up. Get tighter. We need you to do this. This is how you do that. They're not going to be able to do it till the summer. So everything's going to be slower, and it's going to create frustration. So therefore, the frustration is going to lead to coaches having an issue, veteran players having an issue, slowing things down, and the guys not getting the type of time that they normally would get in a regular season.
Do you believe that we're going to see a lot of simplification in terms of offenses because of this drop-off in time? As you're saying, there are guys that they're looking to contribute who won't be able to be up to speed because of this time that they've missed.
No, because the guys that you're really looking to contribute, there's only like a handful of them, right, per team. I mean, like guys that were not there before. You know, take the Rams, for instance. The Rams drafted
Cam Akers.
They got Jefferson, they got Cam Akers offensively. Those two dudes, I would think, would be able to get up to speed. And Cam Akers is considered a major contributor, so they will bring him along slow. Jefferson is another guy that they want to kind of bring along slow. They didn't draft a guy in the first round that has to go right in and start right now for them. You know, they didn't have – so these guys are all kind of –
They might not have drafted him in the first round, Key, but they – I mean, Cam Akers presumably is here to replace Todd Gurley. Van Jefferson presumably is here to replace Brandon Cooks. They've got holes in their lineup that need to be filled, and maybe you could put a Josh Reynolds out there, maybe a Malcolm Brown, one of these guys.
But you're going to have Josh Reynolds. You're going to have Robert Woods, you have Cooper Kupp are going to be your three frontline receivers. I would be shocked if Vance Jefferson go in front of Reynolds at this point in time. I would be that means that Reynolds ain't worth two nickels to rub together. If Vance Jefferson is going in front of him out the gate. That's the reality of it. But you are right. They're going to be guys that are there to help them and contribute, but major contributors. Like Cam Akers, you can bring him along. You don't have to throw the kitchen sink at him. You know, there's certain run plays that he can pick up. There's certain pass protections he can pick up. And over time, depending on what type of learner he is, he might be able to pick up the entire playbook. Or maybe he walks in understanding the entire playbook. He did come from a West Coast system under not the dude that left. They got fired, not the brother, but the guy that went to A&M.
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher. He was under Jimbo Fisher in a West Coast system at Florida State. So a lot of what Sean McVay is doing, Jimbo Fisher does. So it would just be some muscle memory there for him.
Not to put too fine a point on it, and obviously, you know, somebody like Yuki who understands the really small details of the sport, you're going to notice. Are guys like myself, are guys that are football fans that watch every game, that – no, you're in the group with me, OZ. You're definitely in my group. Are we going to notice any difference in the play come September? Are we going to be able to say, right there, that they didn't get a chance to get real meetings, real – hands-on experience until, you know, this date as opposed to that date? Or by the time that we get games in September, to the layperson, are we just going to look at the NFL football and say, oh yeah, that's the NFL, cool, oh, he dropped the ball, that happens every once in a while, or that guy wasn't open, or this guy blew a coverage? Are we just going to look at it like football, or is it going to be noticeably different to the average viewer?
I think it's going to be just what it is, like you normally see. People like me, I can see certain things because I've been in it, but the normal viewer just be like, oh, okay. I mean, that your normal thing, a guy drops a ball. You're going to say, oh, man, see, he didn't have an off season. Well, that's not really why he dropped the ball. I mean, you know, he caught enough balls in the training camp that he shouldn't be dropping balls. Or you could tell when a guy is confused because he'll be, like I said, he's going to be looking back at the coaches like he saw a ghost, or looking to the sideline when he hears something, Jared Goff saying something in the huddle, and it's not going to stick. And he's going to look, oh, my God, oh, damn. And he's going to have that look where you're going to be like, oh, he don't know what he's doing.
What do you do in that situation? I mean, look, we've all been in that, whether it's you're in class and the teacher calls on you and you have no idea. Yeah, you whisper, happens to everybody. What do you turn to the guy next to you and say, the hell am I supposed to do?
You whisper. To the guy next to you, say, "Man, what I got on that?" Okay, all right. And all you need to do is hear a reminder. You know, they might say you got the shallow cross. That's right. Because it all starts to run together. It all runs together. He may say you got the post. Or as you break in the huddle, you may say, "Well, what?" You know, put your hands up. Well, what I got? You got the skinny. And then once it hits, you're like, oh, okay, that's right. He got this, I got that. Because it's a lot of time between you walking from the huddle to lining up and the snap of the ball. It seemed like you're going through the Lincoln Tunnel. It takes forever. because people don't realize that when you're watching the game, or you thinking it's really fast. It's like by the time I line up, I can process so much in my mind from the break of the huddle to my initial alignment. And then as I'm running my route, I'm thinking. You know, you like, okay, this is the breaking point. This is this. Okay, this is what's happening. It's a lot, man. It's like futuristic in your brain going on. I'm serious. It's one of those things. So when guys look lost, their computer system ain't working in their brain. When guys are out there and they don't look like and when they don't know what they're doing, and you see, you know how you call in the games, Travis, you say, well, those two guys are in the same spot.
Right.
Those computers aren't working. Something is off upstairs. You should have bust happening on the field. If you busted on the field, it's because you never got the information to be able to retain it. It's not that the coaches didn't give it to you. You may have not understood what they were doing, and your learning curve is so narrow that you shouldn't be on the damn field anyway.
I got more questions about players' broken computer systems and what that could look like on the field coming up in a bit. But there was a key player in The Last Dance who is, quote, wounded and disappointed. Find out who it is next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, Key, moment of truth, moment of full transparency and honesty. You talk about how it's forever from the time the play is called in the huddle to you go take your spot to the time the ball is snapped. Have you ever been out there and you talk about guys with their broken computers in their head and the ball's getting ready to snap and you had no idea what you were supposed to do?
Many times.
So what happens?
Man, you figure it out along the way.
What do you mean along the way?
Man, as you no, you freelance, man. You out there, you skip to Malou in the NBA. You Ray for Austin. You just out there. You just
Travis. I think we need to reevaluate what happened to poor Sean King. Maybe something out there freelancing, and it's not really Sean King's fault.
No, you. But you ain't gonna have too many of those in the course of a season. Well, somebody like me, I might have one or two, maybe three in the course of a season because everything starts to run together. It sounds the same. Or it's something that you practice game plan and you put in and install that week and you probably only have one rep at it. And you may not be as for sure as what to do. But other than that, you know, I'm sorry, man. I'm watching LeBron play football.
Yeah, he doesn't look bad, does he?
No, man, they done been chopped his big ass down, man. He better
Don't worry. We're going to do some LeBron the football player and take it or shake it.
I'm just looking at it. It looked funny to me. But when you think about it, it's, you know, it's a lot going on the field. And that's why rookies have such a hard time contributing to teams. Is because they only can get things in small doses, and they're taking reps away from veterans, and the coaches don't like that because they want to play the veteran players. And so when they go to insert the rookie into the game or into a game plan, he's not paying attention because he's still a kid. So he's like, man, they ain't going to play me anyway. They're going to play the veteran. And then all of a sudden they call your number and everything that you were supposed to. And now you're like, oh, man, I really wasn't paying attention this week. And now you're looking like you lost. And that's what happens. And imagine not having off-season conditioning program in place. Even though there are rules in place to minimize your availability to the coaches in the offseason, at the OTAs, all those sort of things, and mini camps, when you're on the field. But when you leave the field and go into the building, they still grabbing you and telling you, hey, come here, let's sit down, watch this film. Hey, on the field, let me get an extra 30, 40 minutes each day. After practice, we're going to have the junior coach do these things with you. And so those things are missing. If you go back, let's imagine my second year in the league in 97. So I had a horrible problem in 96 and some parts of 97. I probably had at least 10 catches in those 2 years that was caught but eliminated because I stepped out of bounds.
Oh, okay.
Now imagine coming from college to the pros, 1 foot in college, 2 feet in bounds in the pros. So I had to learn and train myself to be able to do that. So the only thing I would do is every day after practice, I would spend about 30 minutes on the sidelines falling on the mat, going dead leg, going dead leg, going dead leg. About 30 minutes after training camp, after regular season practice, whatever it was, I was doing it. if someone comes into the league now, that stuff is eliminated because you don't have the time. You know, you don't have the time to spend those 30 minutes because the first thing that you need to do after practice, you need to go shower, you need to grab a bite to eat, you go sit in team meetings. You don't have that extra 30 minutes to do all of those things. And you're missing that. These guys are going to be missing that. And that's just one drill. It might be a guy who has a problem of planting and turning who's going to not get a full opportunity to work on that stuff after practice because he's got to go into the building where if he was at off-season conditioning, he could spend as much time as he need working on it in the facility with the junior defensive back coach. So all of those sort of things are going to be problematic to the start of this season, things that you would never even think about.
All right, so let's go to the last dance right here. And one of the guys that seemed to have taken a ton of heat for a variety of different reasons through all this whole thing was Scottie Pippen. And according to a piece on ESPN, he is not loving the way that he was portrayed. Pippen has been notably silent since the documentary began its run last month, and those close to him say he's wounded and disappointed by his portrayal. One of the most famous ex-teammates, a former fierce rival, has even felt compelled to come to his defense. Of course, that is Dennis Rodman along the way. Scottie get a bad deal in this? Because it feels like they painted a full picture of him, and some of it is not terribly complimentary, but at the end of the day, Scottie was integral to the success of that team, and that was certainly highlighted.
I think at the beginning set the stage for the way people was going to view Scottie Pippen. And I think that that's kind of what has hurt the situation of way people are viewing him. I guess if people viewing him that way or whatever, however, I thought he came off looking cool. Me personally, but I can certainly see where people feel, I can certainly see why people feel a certain way based on the beginning in episodes 1 and 2, where he was almost like, seemed like, I don't know, he just was out on the court to be out on the court. He wasn't really taking basketball serious. And I think, the seriousness of putting Michael Jordan up against him, and when Michael said, a damn migraine, and when Michael said he was selfish. And so it set the stage for the negative to breed throughout the next 8 episodes. And so I think it was tough for Scottie to come out of this looking like, like a guy. I look at it differently. I'm not everybody. So, I'm not even Scottie, because if I'm Scottie and I'm seeing the first 2 episodes, I'm feeling a certain type of way.
The next 8 wouldn't have changed that? Because the next 8 made him look like a warrior.
No, because you called me selfish. When I know I wasn't selfish, I was doing right by me, and you didn't go come to my defense to help me get my money, so blank you.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is that, even though there was a lot of truth-telling in this docuseries, that doesn't mean that you want to see it. And, maybe Scottie, when he saw everything strung together, that he did, it wasn't made up. He did it. But when you see it strung together, a lot of people, they don't see the good. They only remember the bad. They only remember the shots they missed, never the shots that they made. And so I'm sure in his mind's eye, if he's coming at it with that sort of human tendency to look at the negative and you see those things, bam, 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 I could see how you would be hurt by it. But again, it's part of your legacy. You did it.
Well, and he, not only did he do it, let's get specific here. The decision to sit out
but
on
was
that
he,
shot at the end of the game, he doubled down on it. He said he would do it again, which I understand. Look, in the moment I was angry, this is how I felt, this is why I did what I did. Okay, fine. I think everybody can kind of wrap their arms around that and understand how you feel in the moment. But given 20 years to think about how it looked and what it meant and how it reflected on the team, and you still say, yeah, I would do it again, that was a bad look for him. So, I mean, I get that there's some stuff that looks bad, but the totality of what would that be? That's 10 hours of television. About 85% of it was incredibly positive about Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, and it was, but the beginning stages of it sets the tone. And based on how he was portrayed in the beginning, is either making people, I don't know if it's making people, maybe him, feel a certain way about the next 8 episodes, because despite what I did, I had a back problem against Utah, but I came back and I performed, but you didn't really give that a whole bunch. Like, you didn't really, you gave it a little bit, but you didn't give it enough to to erase the first two episodes, right? I mean, you just didn't give it enough. And so at the end, Scotty's probably feeling a certain way. And you know, who's to know what that relationship ended or is like with Michael Jordan anyway?
I mean, yeah, you wonder if it's different now.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, what's that relationship like now? I mean, I've never, you know, typically in professional sports, you see teammates with ex-teammates that was their running mate. Like, if somebody was my running mate, I still roll with that dude. Even though we're not playing sports no more, we might live in two different states, you're going to see me rolling with him somewhere. I'm going to show up at a Charlotte Bobcat game. Is it the Bobcats? What's
the Hornets again. The Hornets again. Too much.
You're going to see him show up at the Hornets game, sitting courtside with MJ. You know, you just see those sort of things. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not over. He's got to surface at some point. He's got to talk about it at some point. You wonder if he says something, and then Michael says something, and then we're back on it again, and we get The Last Dance 2.0, and we get 10 more episodes along the way. All right, it is a Tuesday. It is 6:40 in the morning. It means it's time for LZ's Top 10. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, LZ, let's get right to it. What is our topic for Top 10 Tuesday?
All right, gentlemen. Well, as you know, we are rapidly approaching Memorial Day weekend. And even though things are a little bit strange right now, that's still not going to stop us from getting ready for summer, because that's what Memorial Weekend means. You get the barbecue going. We about to do this summer thing. So I put together my top 10 songs that you need on your 2020 summer mixtape. In other words, when you do cook outdoors, at some point this song has to be played, because that's just the spirit or the mood that we're in. Coming in at number 10, Niente. But yeah, see, my hips are already moving. I can't even stop. I didn't even volunteer. It just started happening on its own. So you want the vibe to be right. You want the vibe to be sexy. Responsible, 6 feet apart, but you can still wiggle and look at each other. So this is a 6 foot apart wiggling song, you know, that, you know, is all sexy and fun. It gets the party going. Coming in at number 9 is a throwback. I mean, we're throwing this all the way back. But as soon as the song comes on, mama starts picking the greens. You know, you can start smelling the food cooking, because you got to have the fixings with the barbecue. And this is the song, Stephanie Mills, Never Knew Love Like This Before, gets you in the right spirit. So this is the song here that even if you're single, you make up in your head that you're in love so that you can dance to this and be comfortable. It's just got this nice, nice vibe.
No, that's the one right there.
It just puts you in a good mood. And also, you know, reminds me of like this amazing scene from the TV series Pose. And those of you who are Pose fans know what I'm talking about. Shouts out to you, Candy. Coming in at number 8. That's the Way Love Goes, Janet Jackson.
It's going to be a lot of aunties at this cookout.
Man, it's a lot of aunties with flower dresses on.
Yes. See, this song here is you're still dancing and grooving, but the beat's a little bit slower. So if it's 85 degrees or above, this is what you want to play, because you don't want folks getting too hot too early.
Sweating through the flower dresses.
You don't want to sweat through the flower. Number 7 is the only current song on the top 10. Number 7 is the only current song in the top 10. But as soon as it dropped, it was straight fire. Meg Thee Stallion, Beyonce, they were savage. Yeah, see, this song right here makes me curse. That's why I can't talk too much about it. As soon as it dropped, I was like, oh my God, what is this? I almost got into a car accident. It was so amazing. Number six, we're going to throw it back again. Stevie Wonder's I Wish. Now, Travis.
Yes.
If you want the Antilles to really start cooking, if you want them to really start cooking, like putting their foot up in it, drop the number.
This is certainly a family gathering, buddy. I can tell you that now, Raj.
Yeah, yeah. Not many cousins is up dancing. We're sitting down watching the aunts and uncles.
When you said cooking, I thought you meant like cooking, like starting the food. I didn't know that we were doing
cooking. That's what I'm talking about, cooking. But they got to put their foot up in it, see? The earlier songs, they prepping. You know, they getting the picking the grains, the tenderizing the meat. Now we about to put the stuff on the fire.
All right.
We cooking. Yeah.
Let's go.
Rolling. Number five. Now, I talked a lot with Janice and Jorge about this. We were trying to find the perfect song. I knew Maluma was going to be on it because that's just my dog right now. But Janice and I overruled Jorge, and we settled in on 11 p.m. Yeah, you play too much more of this, Steve, you're going to be in trouble later. Yeah, this song is hidden right here. Got the hips moving. Now, earlier this year, as you guys know, we lost the great Kenny Rogers. Now, normally, you don't necessarily want any country music at the cookout that my aunties are going to be at.
Yeah, I was about to say, what cookout? who you must be hanging out with? Steve's cookout.
This must be a Steve
cookout.
That's why I had to let you know. Kenny necessarily wouldn't be someone, but this particular song is all right because this song has some crossover vibe to it, and they got down, and that's Islands in the Stream.
No, they're not playing this one at ours.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Steve. Hey, man. I'm gonna get out of here.
Yeah.
I gotta go. I gotta get back on the other side, man. I'm getting tired.
I got an early morning.
Yeah, I got an early morning. Hey, Raj. I'm at the hitty with that one. You know.
Yeah, man.
I see you later, Miss Grandison.
You say that now.
Hey, baby, you leaving already? You only been here 30 minutes. Yeah, I just came just to, you know, say hi. I got it.
Number three, Summertime.
Look at him. He's going to say number three. He trying to hurry up and go.
Moving along.
Okay, let me stay for one more drink. I'll stay for one more drink. One more drink. All right.
The truth of the matter is, when this song dropped, this was a necessary song for every summer mixtape from then on. Like, if you don't hear this song, there is no summer. I don't know how in the hell Will Smith was able to make it in hip hop as long as he did, but when he dropped this song, he became a legend. Number two, we got, you know, once the evening starts to settle down, you already had something to eat. You already, there's no more potato salad. There's nothing but bones left in your paper plate. This song starts to drop, and this is when people start to move a little bit more. That's Before I Let Go.
Yeah, this is right. Yeah, you're going to get a little bit of this. You're going to get a little bit of this. It's a mixed age. You know, you got some mid-20s, you got some 30s, you got some 40s. And, you know, you got them 40-pluses trying to holler at them 20-pluses. After they get a few of them yaks in them, they sitting over there plotting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one,
I think if you listen, you can even hear Travis dancing a little bit in his chair.
I'm not going to lie. My head's moving a little bit. I'm feeling it a little.
Yeah, see, this is the food is settling down now. The sun is coming down. You got a nice glow in the sky.
Key mentioned to having a few cognacs, so I'm in. I'm in a good mood at that point.
And then right before you go, you got to get a quick burn. You know, you just got to like sweat just one more time, and that's when you drop in that Marvin Gaye and finish the night off with "You Got to Give It Up."
Oh gosh, yeah, you took me back to my It's time to go now. I'm going to get the plate to go.
This is what the song is for.
Yeah, I'm going to get the plate to go. Give me some of them. Give me a few of them. Give me some ribs. A little bit of macaroni. Just a little bit of greens. I'll make sure my macaroni and greens aren't running together, though. Put aluminum foil in between the two. All right, thank you. A little bit of ribs. I'll take a link. Baby, you leaving? Yeah, I'm getting out of here. I got to go. I can't stay, girl. I got to go. All right, tell your mama I said hi.
Don't call me. She ain't called me in a minute now.
And that is my 2020 mixtape for the vibe that we're in, quarantine edition.
I feel like I was there. I feel like I was at the cookout. I got my plate to go and a couple of cognacs along the way. All right. Pro sports, college sports, look like we're getting a green light. Some governors are saying, let's get started in June. How do you catch up? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.